Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we again thank you. We praise you for what you're doing at Crossfire Assembly. Lord, we want to thank you for supplying the volunteers and the people, for all the finances and for all the things that are behind the scenes also, Lord. We thank you for every bit. You get all the praise and you get all the glory. You get all the honor because it's all because of you that makes this happen, Lord, that where we can touch young people for the kingdom of heaven, Lord. And we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for these young children, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will continue to move upon their little hearts and young hearts, Father, as they grow, should Jesus tarry, that there will be a generation that will be on fire, will stand for truth, and stand strong in spite of whatever would come against them. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we ask for your anointing upon the congregation today also, Father, to receive and hear your word, as well as anoint me to give it out, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for your written word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to belabor it because that was a great time we just had seeing what the Lord did this week. Just think, over 20 people give their lives to Jesus. Amen. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. And I want to thank all the volunteers and all the people involved because it takes all of us. We're all in it together, aren't we? Praise the Lord. So I want to speak quickly, and I won't take more than a couple hours here on heaven today. Nobody run out. That's good, huh? So I should be able to get at least an hour in, right? No, I'm just kidding here. But you know, it's because of Jesus that I can talk about heaven. It's because of what he did on Calvary's cross that we can have a future and a hope and know that we have a place where we are going to be going, and that is heaven. So I'm only going to touch on this. There is so much involved in heaven. I can only touch the tip of the iceberg right now. But this is a start. I want to encourage you. Sandra, before you... Sandra, I just wanted to say here also, thank you for your leadership. Yes. Thank you for your faithfulness through the years for the young people and being faithful to God. And we just want to honor you also today for your faithfulness to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith, he, speaking of Abraham, sojourned into the land of promise as in a stranger, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Amen? He was willing to do this because he realized that the new Jerusalem will be more real. It'll be more solid and more beautiful than Canaan's land of milk and honey. He knew that. And people, nothing in this world... nothing in this world compares to what heaven is going to be like. Nothing. Shiny new pickups won't cut it. They're going to rust. They're going to disappear. Homes, everything in this world cannot compare with what God has got for us. The book of Revelation does not give us details describing the new heaven and the new earth. Instead, it focuses on the beautiful picture of the new Jerusalem that comes down from above. And this world is not our home, people. If you're in here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, this is not your home. We have to remember that. This is not our home. Our home is on the way. Praise the Lord. What is heaven like? We can't help but wonder what heaven is like. Amen? What is it going to be like? It's going to be incredible, I believe. Heaven is mysterious to the human mind, and heaven is a place that defies our imagination. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by a spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Praise the Lord. So whatever we can imagine heaven to be like, Scripture gives us just a hint. Just a hint. It is vastly superior to anything our minds can conjure up. We can't even begin to think what actually heaven is going to be like. We've heard many stories about what heaven is like, and most of them mention about the pearly gates and the angel standing at the gates giving interviews and St. Peter standing there and saying who can get in and who can't. We heard those stories. But I tell you what, that's far from the truth. So as Christians, we may ask the question, what will heaven be like? And you know, I love seeing us hand out all these Bibles to these young people today. Bibles aren't being used the way they used to or given out much anymore. But today, Crossfire Assembly, we gave the Word of God out. But if you search in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 26, it'll give us a nice picture of what heaven will be like. Isaiah was the first to foretell of a new heaven and a new earth. It says in Isaiah 65:17, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered." Did you hear that? "The former shall not be remembered, nor come into the mind." That's how awesome heaven is going to be. That's why when you hear stories of people say, I died and I went to heaven, I don't want to come back. And I believe that is reality. I don't know if those stories are true, but I believe that part of it. I believe it's going to be so magnificent. There's nobody that will want to journey back to this world ever again because it's going to be so awesome. Every description of it draws a picture of perfection. Be it numbers or dimensions, whatever the descriptions are in the book of Revelation, we find perfection about heaven. So what can we expect to see and feel there? What is going to look like, and what are we going to be doing? And the first thing you notice is that God himself will be with us. Amen? God himself. The word in the King James in Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle." That's God dwelling with us. A dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It took me back to Genesis with Adam and Eve when it said that God walked with them in the cool of the day. We're going back to that time when our Creator will literally walk with us. That's got to put something in your heart of joy and expectation to realize this isn't it, folks. We're going to be walking with the Creator. Can you imagine that? The very one who created our being is going to be there. We are going to be walking with him. Whew. And we see the word is used in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 11, 12. I'm going to rifle through this because I'm a little shorter on time, right? Amen. But it was a good time. "And I set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people." Praise the Lord. And you know, he's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to pick and choose. We have all eternity for our God to walk with us. And every one of us in there, if you've been abused, rejected, or not accepted in anything within this world, this God that we will be walking with will take us all equally and love us all equally. There will be no respecter of persons of anything in heaven. Praise the Lord. You won't have to worry about your God turning away from you. He would never do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is a promise repeated over and over again in Scripture. It's good beyond that we can even begin to imagine. I like that song. How many have heard this song, "You Can Only Imagine"? I love that song. I love it. And when it's playing, I can sit there and put your mind and imagine what heaven, what our loved ones must be experiencing that have gone on to heaven, those that have been born again Christians, that they're literally there. The very things they've worked and labored on this earth, they're now standing in front of this great God. And we can only imagine. We can only imagine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John tells us we'll be like Jesus. What will that be like? Well, here it says in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Every one of us is going to be like Jesus when we see him. Can you imagine that? When we see him, we will immediately be like him. Don't let this old world bring hang-ups in your mind and say the prejudice and the bias and things that are going on in this world. Jesus has nothing to do with that. He created us all, every one of us, and we are going to be like him when we see him. What a hope we have as the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. See, when we enter heaven, we'll be changed physically and spiritually. And here are just a few things quickly. We'll still eat. Did you know that? How many like to eat? Christians love to eat. And that's one of the first things that's going to happen after the rapture. Listen to this, Revelation 19, 6, 7. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife made herself ready. We're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. After the resurrection of Jesus, when he appears to his disciples in Jerusalem, guess what Jesus did? He asked for food. He asked for food. Luke 24, 41, 43. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? This is Jesus speaking. Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat it before them. After his resurrection, are we going to eat in heaven? We're like Jesus. We'll be eating. Peter said in Acts 10, 41, not all the people, but not to all the people, but unto witness chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead. Lastly, Revelation 22, 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. Every month. Not in the dry times, but every month. See, that brings us to, will we ever be sick again? Will we ever be sick again? We currently live in a fallen, imperfect world. People get sick and they suffer and they die, don't they? It's all around us. The other joy of living in God's presence, it's going to be indescribable when we get there. Listen in Revelation chapter 21, 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine that? We see our loved ones suffering with sickness and disease and all manner of things coming against us and pain, but God is going to wipe that all away. It won't be in heaven, people. It won't even be there. It's a curse, and it will not be in heaven. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Huh? Just think, there'll be no more disease or aches or pains. It's gone. Huh? Getting out of bed is going to be a snap, because you won't be getting out of bed because you won't be sleeping. I jumped ahead a little bit. No more pills to take. Woo. No more doctors to see. No more sorenesses to deal with. No more tests to be run. No, the doctors will be out of business in heaven, people. I tell you what, us older ones appreciate it more than the little kids yet, but I tell you, should Jesus tarry, they'll be up here shouting with me. How many of the little kids in here have already had colds and flu? They're no fun, are they? Huh? In heaven, we won't have any. Praise the Lord. All the hurts will be healed, people. Emotional, all of it. Heaven will be a world, it says in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the deserts. Man, I'm not even touching the tip of the iceberg. There will be no more suffering in heaven. In heaven, there will be rest. Did you know that? How many like to rest? I love to rest. We all like to rest, don't we? Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, you can read about the rest of the Lord. Revelation 14, 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their work to follow them. Did you hear that? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. if you're in the Lord. If you're in here this morning, you're not in the Lord and you die, you can't apply that to yourself. Not because God doesn't want to, it's our choice, amen? We are not told about sleep in heaven, by the way, but we're told about rest. Remember on the seventh day, God rested, and after the sixth day of creation, he doesn't say anything about sleep, does he? He talks about rest. Psalms 121:4 says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Will there be animals there? Kids, will there be animals in heaven? She's smart. Yeah, you guys are smart. Will there be animals in heaven? You know, when animals die, how many have had a little animal that you really cared about and the little guy died or little gal, whatever, they're gone. And you say, oh, I hope they're in heaven someday. You know, people do wish that because that becomes a family member, the little things. They've been faithful and make you laugh and all these things that go on. And will there be animals in heaven? You know something? I can't say that on the authority of Scripture or anything, but you know something? I believe my God is able to raise those little animals up and recreate them if he wants. They're not human beings. He didn't die on the cross for the animals. But I believe if he wants to fulfill the desire of a heart, he can raise up animals too. Amen? I believe that. I did. Now, it's not in Scripture. See, I don't know, but there will be animals there. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Revelation 19:11 and verses 11 and 14, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he sat there upon him, was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. It's going to be a lot of white horses up there. A lot of them. And I would say there are animals in heaven, people. I'm just skimming on these right now. And one day I'm going to do it. I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to detail out even more. But right now I'm going to skim through it just to give you a sense of what heaven's like. And remember, we can only imagine half of what heaven is going to be like. Unhindered fellowship. We also know that heaven is a place where we'll enjoy unhindered fellowship with God. Yes, and I'm looking for that too. Also, amen? Our present fellowship with God is limited, it is hindered, and is distorted by sin. How many times you tried to fellowship with the Lord and something happens, even a thought comes into your mind, it's foul thought maybe, or something, it's distractions, whatever, and it's hindered. But in heaven, we'll have non-hindered fellowship with our Creator. Amen. And believe me, He'll listen. Our present fellowship with God is limited. Consequently, at times, God seems distant and far removed. We don't always sense His presence either, do we, when we're talking with Him? And that will never be the case in heaven, because guess what? I told you earlier, we'll be walking with Him, talking with Him. Whew. Heaven is where God is, and His presence will be. We'll have complete fellowship with Him. Complete fellowship. And He's going to be as interested in you as you will be in Him. Amen? And there's nobody in here that's got a greater story than anybody else that the Father won't listen to, because everybody in here was created by the Father, the Creator, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's that we're all important to Him. We will know Him like we've never known Him before. Emmanuel, God with us. We'll know Him like never before. And L. Anderson said, "What makes heaven heaven is God." You know, we can talk about all the other things in heaven, but in reality, you know, I think God is going to be such, there's not even earthly words, so magnificent, so majestic, that when we see Him, we won't be looking around anywhere else. We'll be looking at our Savior, and we'll be saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All honor and power and glory to Him." And I believe it's going to be hard even to focus away from Him, because the Creator will be standing in front of us in His full glory. And that's the one who created us. That's the one who died on the cross. And one day we'll stand before Him in His fullness, in His holiness. And we'll look and we will be praising His name. Yes. somebody says, well, God can't make me praise him. Believe me, he won't. He doesn't have to. When we see him, you'll want to do it. It'll just flow out of you like a river when you begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:8, this is to the person who has come to Jesus Christ and made him Lord and Savior. No other way into heaven. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You have to be a born-again, blood-bought Christian to make it to heaven, to be in front of the Lord when you die. Present with the Lord. When we leave this life and enter heaven, we will be in the presence of the Lord. Right now, we're able to a small degree, to know God and have fellowship with him, but we're very limited. It is, however, limited, but the time is coming. We will know God in a far more intimate way when we literally see him face to face. We will relate to him in a way that we cannot even imagine at this time. We will experience the awesome presence of the glory of God. With that fellowship will come an indescribable peace, contentment, and fulfillment. We will be able to talk to him and ask him questions and listen to him speak. Boy, will you have questions for God? I will. And guess what? He's the one that can give the answers. He's the one that can give the answers. Imagine hearing his voice. Imagine the stories he'll tell us. Imagine that, the Creator, what he's going to tell us. He'll teach us, and he'll love us, and he'll share with us his kingdom. See, we will live in a new Jerusalem on this earth. There will be a holy city. And that is the New Jerusalem. The Bible tells us something of its size and construction, as well as what life will be like for us as we dwell in eternity. The size of heaven, Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. Can you imagine how big that is? Let me tell you. It talks about being roughly 1,500 miles high in height. 1,500 miles in width and height and breadth. 1,500 miles. Heaven is going to be mighty big. There will be plenty of room for everyone. The ground level is estimated to be nearly 2 million square miles and have over 600,000 stories. Who wants to live on the top deck? Praise the Lord. Because Jesus will be there, amen? Hallelujah. What a sight. You'll be on the edge of space. And that's going to be in the New Jerusalem, people. That's the New Jerusalem for God's people. There will be plenty of room. Don't worry. There's all kinds of room there. It's going to be an exciting place. Hallelujah, yes. The Apostle John, in relaying a vision given to him by an angel during a tour of heaven, was trying to make a point. And you know something with John, when you think about that, is all John could really say, it's really big. It's really big. It makes a little sense that he would provide exact dimensions unless they are accurate. God gave him them dimensions. There's more than enough space for everyone. Every follower, every born-again Christian who has existed, will exist throughout human history, will be in heaven. John chapter 14, 1 and 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, to know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the city's made of pure gold and has a beautiful foundation of gates and pearls. The Holy of Holies was a perfect square, and this may have been what John was trying to tell us. The temple isn't there anymore because it isn't needed, people. It isn't needed. The whole city is the fullness of the presence of God. Separation of holy and unclean is no longer needed because there's nothing unclean in heaven. Nothing. Don't let this modern church world tell you that we can live in sin and go to heaven and take it with us. You can't do it. Heaven is no place for it. The construction of heaven, the city has no lights in it. Instead, it radiates with the glory of God. Did you hear that? Listen to Revelation 21, verses 11 and verse 23. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can you imagine? When we enter heaven, it's going to be His presence. It's going to be His light, His glory that lights this whole heaven up. It's going to be incredible. Incredible. No words for it. If that doesn't put a fire in your heart to want to live for Jesus and be prepared for when He comes. There will be no moon or no sun. John didn't have electric lights or neon lights as a reference point, so he used the picture of a clear jewel. And then it is a city surrounded by great high wall with 12 massive gates, three facing each direction. Another thing you notice is that the gates will never be shut. Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, has to close its gates. But never will the New Jerusalem be closed. We will have access because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. There's no need for the wall or the gates to defend the city. They are more for ornament than for protection. In ancient times, of course, it was very different. The gates and walls will be used for protection against other armies. Shut gates represented times of peril and sword and famine and disease. But now there's no more war fear. We will live with God. And He is our protection. And I love it when I know God's protecting me. I'm in a real safe place. Amen? It is a city that is prepared for believers who have lived throughout history. The gates were named for the 12 sons of Israel, while the foundation stones were named for the 12 apostles. And you can read about that in Revelation 21, 12 through 14. It is a city adorned with precious stones and with streets of gold. You can read about that in Revelation 21, 18 through 21. The foundations are marked with jewels of untold value. Bible scholars are actually unsure of identity of some of the precious stones mentioned. I tell you, the greatest jeweler in the world I know is God Himself. When you read in the Bible about those jewels and everything, incredible. I was reading a while back, I'm going to try to find it again, that somebody identified these jewels connected with God Himself, what they represent, which is incredible. Civilizations have used different terms for such gems through the centuries, but all of them were rare and beautiful. Everything indicates beauty beyond description when we get there. Beyond our wildest dreams. We can't even imagine it. We can try, but we won't be able to because it's going to be so beautiful. Single pearls from each of the 12 gates. Can you imagine that? The size of a pearl. Each of the 12 gates will be one pearl. The gates into the New Jerusalem. Each one, one pearl. The streets are paved with gold so pure that it's almost transparent. Again, emphasis is on purity and transparency in order to radiate the glory of God Himself. This city, unlike the old Jerusalem, had no temple because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Revelation 21, 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. They're the temple. Listen to Revelation 21, 1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Wow. The water of life is a symbol of eternal life. And on both sides of the river was the tree of life. This tree grows on each side of the river and bears 12 crops of fruit, new every single month. And then God keeps records in heaven, by the way. Heaven is a place of records. Did you know that? The Lamb's book of life is there in the record books at the judgment seat and the great white throne judgment. They're record books. God has great recording system to preserve every idle word, thought, or deed. Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account therein the day of judgment. Doesn't that give you an idea that there's some record keeping going on here? It really does. And we can be sure that God has things recorded. We are told to rejoice because of this. Luke 10:20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah! Is your name written in heaven?
Yes. Amen.
Don't you just love when that guy shouts? Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Pity the poor soul whose name is not written in the book. Yes. Amen? That's what VBS was all about.
Right.
We got some names written in the book of heaven this week.
Yeah.
I did. God did.
Amen.
That's what it's about. That's what we're about at Crossfire Assembly. I believe that's why God raised us up. Oh, sure, we're not 10,000 people. God doesn't need church of 10,000 people. He needs faithful people that are willing to reach that one. And we're reaching them however we can with what we have. And God is doing a mighty work at Crossfire. And he's using you and me to do that work in this area of the world. And I'm excited about it. Are you excited, Sandra? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm almost done, people. I'm almost done with my first hour. Listen to this. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Did you hear that? He that overcometh. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Whatever may happen to you on earth, you have an inheritance waiting for you that is beyond all imagination. This heaven I'm talking about is you and I inheriting that. He has blessings waiting for you that you can't even imagine. There's nothing in this world. I see people killing and murdering and deceiving and cheating and going after things in this world that will fade away, and they're nothing. Even the Bible speaks of their silver and their gold will they throw in the streets. It'll be worthless one day. But I tell you, when we get to heaven, that's where it's all going to be exciting, because it will never disappear, the things that were waiting for us in heaven. Heaven is a place of rewards, people. And here's Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. What did he say? He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. I like that. Are you exceedingly glad? I'm excited about Jesus. I was excited about Jesus the moment he saved me, and I'm still excited. You don't have to be old, and you don't have to be young. You just need to be excited to serve Jesus. For great is his reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He went on to say in Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. See, this is our heavenly safety deposit box.
Yes, yes.
And everything we invest in heaven, through our finances in this church, through the tithes, through the offering, people that hold back from God are missing what they're putting in heaven to stay there. These souls that have come into heaven this week through VBS are in heaven. There are treasures there that will never fade away. They'll never die ever again. And every dime that you have put in to help us to go forward to do these ministries is that treasure in heaven. And it's people, it's souls, people that Jesus died on the cross for. And that's what's exciting. That's the exceeding joy of the treasures here on earth. Hallelujah. I just got to yell because I get excited. Amen. I tell you what, people don't hold back at the ball games, and I'm sure not going to hold back here. Hallelujah. Whew. See, there will be rewards for sincerity, for suffering, and for service. To think along this line will excite the heart when you meditate upon the Word of God. The main thing about it, heaven, is it's not all glitter and gold. It's not all glitter and gold. You know what it is? It's the presence of God. The one that you want to be coming near to. The one that gives you peace in your heart in the middle of tribulation. The one that you and I cry out in the nighttime when our hearts are aching and when we're fearful, when we're hurting. That's the one we are going to be standing in front of. The one who we've been working and serving and laboring for up on this earth is the one we're going to be standing in front of, the very presence of God Himself. It is the one thing for someone to rent a motel room for you to stay in when you're visiting. It's altogether another matter for that person to open their home and say, stay with us. In heaven, the Lord of glory opens his home and says, come and stay with me. Everyone, he says that. The Bible also describes heaven in such a personal term. That's what makes heaven, heaven. He talks to us on a personal level. Each and every one of us, not gold and jewels, but the very presence of the Father himself. Just before his impending death, Jesus spoke to his disciples about this place called heaven. When Jesus said, in my Father's house, that very words he used changed the whole character of the abode of the dead, didn't it? No longer was death to be viewed as an eerie journey to an unknown, frightening destination. For the first time, people were able to think of death as going home to their Heavenly Father. Going home. I have loved ones that have gone home. They're with Jesus. It was seen as entering into the presence of their Creator where all would be joy and light and love, and that's the truth. It was viewed as the one place where all the wrongs and inequities of this life would be made right. It was seen as the place where we would finally be reunited with loved ones who had died in Christ. When Jesus said, my Father's house are many mansions. In the Greek, mansions is used for dwelling places, also meaning abiding places. The meaning is clear. Jesus has gone before us to prepare abiding places. That's what he's been doing, people. He's been preparing this heaven for you and I. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, please. I'd like to keep going, but I'm respecting you. I'm respecting you. I hope I gave you just a tidbit, a taste. See, he's made arrangements for us, people. We can absolutely be certain that heaven is our final destination. Do you know where you are going today? Do you know where you're going? Does everybody in this room here today know without a shadow of a doubt that should you die today, that you'll be going to this heaven? If you say to me, well, I've been a good person, you won't make it to heaven. God says our righteousness is but filthy rags. It's a stench in his nostrils. For he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from this mighty God that I'm talking about here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Is there anyone in here would say, Pastor, I want to make sure that I go to heaven one day. Just lift your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just lift it up if you're in here this morning. Is there anybody? God sees the hands. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm going to ask the people, head your hands up, put them way up again. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, I'm not going to embarrass him. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray. Put it back up. Put it up. Don't be ashamed. Praise God. I want everybody to pray with me this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And by the way, you with your hands in the air, you mean this prayer, God will save you this moment within this day. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I come to you. a sinner, and I ask for forgiveness. I ask that the blood of Jesus will cleanse me of all my sin from the day I was born to the day I'm standing here. And Lord, right now, I ask Jesus to come into my life and to save me and to make me born again. And that I give my life to you right now, Lord. And I believe this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, came to earth, died on a cross, was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And he's coming back for us. And right now, Jesus, I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you meant that, God saved you. And here's what you need to do. If you did that today, you need to go tell somebody that you did it to solidify your decision for Christ. You need to tell somebody, I gave my life to Jesus today. You don't have to feel it. God says we come to him by faith, not by feelings. Feelings do come. And if you meant that and you share with other people, watch what the Holy Spirit will do. Watch what he'll do in your life. From this point on, if you meant it, your life will begin to do supernatural things that you never dreamt of before. It'll change you. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome you as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And Jesus, I believe you're coming soon back to earth. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room that you'll continue to move upon them supernaturally. And Lord, continue to do a work in our lives, convict our hearts, and help us to turn from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, bless every home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every way. But let us give you all the glory as that happens. And Lord, raise up laborers in the harvest in these last days to continue serving you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you. And I will, if those that raise their hand, I'd like you to come up and just talk to me before you leave if you'd like.